Hello and welcome to the Medical Sisterhood, a podcast created in collaboration with HCP Live that's dedicated to empowering female physicians by providing a platform for shared experiences, mentorship, and support. I'm your host, Mona Shariari. I'm a dermatologist in Connecticut, and I am joined by my good friend and colleague, Dr. Ali Gallant. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ali. It's such a pleasure to have you on with us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, I know we know each other very well, but before we get started, can you just tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your journey through medicine?
Sure. I am currently on faculty at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. I've been at Sinai in some capacity for close to 20 years. I was a medical student at Sinai. I did my research fellowship at Sinai. And then after a brief stint in private practice, returned to Sinai as faculty, which has been incredible. And I now run the residency program and see patients in the faculty practice, which is my passion. And particularly, I would say, probably focusing on patients with inflammatory skin disease.
You wear a lot of hats. Now, our audience doesn't know this, but Ali and I actually met through Zoom during COVID, and we just clicked. We're like on the same page with respect to a lot of things we were talking about. And unbeknownst to me, she was pregnant with her third child at the time, and now she has four beautiful children. And one of the reasons that she's my hero is really her ability to balance all those hats in her professional life along with mom life and do it with grace. And I'm a new mom. My baby girl is going to be 6 weeks old tomorrow. So I've been really struggling to find my new balance. So we thought it might be nice to talk about motherhood and medicine today. And remember, Ali, nothing is off limits. So let's really dig in. So I know you have a high profile career. We kind of talked about that. So does your husband. So tell me a little bit about what does the typical evening or weekend look like for you guys?
I would say with four kids, you have to embrace chaos. There's still only a finite number of adults to go around. So it's loud. It is chaotic, usually happy. The happiness level probably varies from evening to evening. But, you know, I think like in any partnership, there are busy periods and periods where we feel like we're kind of two ships passing in the night, and I'm coming home and he's leaving for something. We kind of take it week by week. And you know, as our kids have gotten older, the older kids start to kind of help you with some of the tasks relating to the little ones, which has been a welcome extra set of hands.
Free child labor.
Yes, exactly.
But no, I agree with you. Having the kids outnumber you sometimes can be a little bit challenging because we just have the one and there's two of us. And I still sometimes need a third set of hands depending on what's happening at home. So I can only imagine the controlled chaos that's there on a day-to-day basis.
I always say when you have many kids, you learn to accept some level of mediocrity. You know, you can't do everything perfectly. You won't be at everything for every child. So you learn to, I think, prioritize and have the perspective, I think, a little bit of what is super important and what potentially you can sit out for a year. So there is some wisdom that comes with age, as we've all learned.
Well, and that's actually a really good point, because I feel like our whole life, they tell us that, well, as women, you're going to have it all. You're going to have that career. You're going to be the A-plus mom. But I think the reality that we're finding is you can have it all, and it's okay to not have it all. You just figure out what is enough for you to keep you satisfied, so to speak. So how do you kind of prioritize the recital this week with the baseball game next week? How do you pick?
I think that's so true. And I actually think that the message, you know, of lean in and try to do it all and be the best at everything did not do us any favors. And I have this conversation with my residents a lot when, you know, many of them come to me and they're a fair amount younger than me at this point, but they're, you know, thinking about starting their own families and thinking about their own career and thinking about what's the right time to start a family. And the truth is there is no right time. And when you invest in one thing, like you and I talk about, just, you know, as friends, when we say yes to one opportunity, it's at the cost of something else, whether that's time with your family, whether that's another opportunity. I have, you know, I think I spent the earlier part of my career trying to say yes to absolutely everything that I could. There were fewer kids in the mix at that time. I was at a, earlier stage of my career at that time, but I reached a point when that just became not feasible, at least with the balance I wanted to maintain at home and just being around and not feeling completely exhausted all the time. So I think I've done a slightly better job of learning to say no. And it's not only learning to say no, but like learning to say no without guilt and feeling confident in your no. And that's only happened because I've truly because I'm supported by boss women and friends like you. I've done a better job of kind of creating my circle of people I can bounce things off of, and that's been a huge value add, just personally and I think professionally as well.
Well, and I think the saying no piece is still something that a lot of us struggle with because you're always worried that are they going to ask you again if you say no? So I always tell my colleagues, look, if I have to say no to something, I actually nominate one of my female colleagues who I know would be a good fit because I'm like, I can't do it, but let me have somebody else do it and maybe together we can lift each other up. And I hope that others kind of take that message home because at the end of the day, the more of us are sitting at the table, the bigger difference it will make, hopefully.
I completely agree with that. I think it's this existential fear on some level of kind of like losing the seat at the table that you work so hard to ask for. And I think you touched on it in your conversation with Tina too. Inherent in that is kind of feeling secure about kind of what you've built and your skill set and the people that you choose to partner with. But it's a leap of faith, right? I think we all face it, especially in a circumstance like a maternity leave or just, taking a couple months to be quieter in the summer to like really focus on your family or traveling or your other interests. This pertains to things outside of motherhood, certainly as well. I think it's really important, and it's how we stay grounded and how we avoid burnout, on some level too.
Well, and I kind of feel like if you try to give all this time, for example, to outdoor activities or even to your kids, you're like, you know what? I'm home for 3 hours, so I need to give those 3 hours to my kid. You may not be giving quality time to them. That's what I'm starting to realize because I'm so sleep deprived with a newborn in the house that I feel like, you know what? If I take that 30 minutes to take a nap, I'm going to be better for the extra hour as opposed to taking the 90 minutes and being so burnt out and so exhausted that I'm not giving her my 150%, so to speak.
Yeah, I think I always say, and I've always said, like my hardest days are my days fully at home with the kids, without any support system, because I do better when I am at work and I'm at work, I'm attending to work, I'm seeing my patients. And then when I'm home, I feel like I'm able to be more present with them. When somehow being more mindful of that time is very powerful to me relative to like an 8-hour day just trying to manage the chaos at home. Because it's a lot. It really is a lot. And I think we're so lucky, to work in a specialty that does allow some flexibility of, the amount of patient care, research, consulting, whatever other parts of you are in your kind of mix, that you can change over time as your kids get older, you have more kids, you need to dial back for a little bit. I feel so blessed, honestly, to be practicing in a time where that is true, in a specialty that allows that, and surrounded by women and mentors and good friends like you.
Well, and that actually is really important because I've done that. I'm coming back to work. I was full time 4 days a week, seeing 40 patients a day. Now I'm cutting back to 3 days a week. I'm seeing about 30 patients. I want to find my new balance before I commit to going right back to where I was. And I think the fact that we can do that from just a mental health standpoint allows for you to just ease into this new role that you're taking on and do it the best way that you can. It's going to be different for each and every one of us. Like somebody, like for example, me, I still want to keep engaging in a lot of my educational activities, but someone else may say, you know what, being a mom is really important and I want to dedicate 50% of my life to that. And that's okay. And I think what we as other female physicians need to do is just recognize that everyone's goals are going to be different and that's okay. We need to support everyone in whatever capacity they're trying to regain that balance.
Completely agree. And I think one of the best lessons I've learned is that your balance, like this concept of work-life balance, is not a static thing. Like it changes it over time and it ebbs and flows. And the most important thing I think you can do is listen to that voice. And when it feels off, you know, when I, and everybody has their own, I think, you know yourself best. So when you feel like you're kind of on the edge of feeling too overwhelmed or too busy or overcommitted, knowing when to listen to that and honor that is huge. And I think sometimes those are the situations where I, you know, find myself like, you know, almost fact checking, like, you know, with a trusted colleague or friend to say, like, am I, you know, like almost like validate how I'm feeling here. When you waver from like listening to that gut, but that's so important. And I think probably is the thing that has helped me maintain that set point for myself, which is still evolving and changing, and I'm sure will continue to do so for the next, you know, decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, however long we do this for.
And I think it's really important to have that network of people that you can fact check with, because we need to normalize these challenges. Nobody has it all figured out. From the outside, everyone may look like, oh, they're perfect and they're so organized, but we do feel overwhelmed. We do feel overcommitted. We might have moments when we get tearful and cry because of all the extra pressure that we're under. And that's okay. Like, you go through different struggles in life and you just need to learn how to navigate them. And I think sometimes when I hear from you that you're going through some similar struggles, I'm like, all right, so it's not just me. And you feel supported and you can actually do a better job now.
And you know, I'd say the same thing to you. I think just as important as it is to be honest with yourself and kind of honor that internal voice, it's finding the people, your people, you know, and really your friendship was really like a pivotal point in terms of like in the dermatology circle, to have a really trusted person where you can be honest about everything from A to Z, motherhood, contracts, different opportunities where there's no competition, there's no judgment, it's just honesty. And I would say what probably people from the outside I'm asked the most is like, you know, how do you do it all? Like you do so much, like how do you do it all? You have everything together, right? And it's being honest. And a lot of the time my answer is I don't have everything together. And I think as more opportunities we can engage honestly with one another, and share the struggles and share when things feel off and you feel like you have 1,000 balls in the air and you're not in control of any one of them, that's I think how we grow together. And that's really how we support each other. And our, you know, some of my most powerful moments in medicine and in dermatology have been in panels with people like you and many of the other guests that I know will be on your podcast, and just talk honestly about the struggles, because there's camaraderie in that. And it's so nice to know that you're not alone and people are going through the exact same thing that you're going through. So that's been incredibly therapeutic.
Well, and I just distinctly remember me, you, and a colleague, we were sitting on a bus. I'm 8 months pregnant. Your daughter was going off to camp. And so you'd be there instead of be with her on her day that she's leaving. She just flew across the country to be at this function. And we're sitting there talking about work-life balance. And we took a second and we're like, you know what? We are very bad examples of given what we're doing right. And I still sometimes think to that moment and it does make me laugh, but I loved the camaraderie that we shared in that moment. The fact that we could just look at each other and laugh at the decisions that we've made and really do some introspection in that moment.
Right. And really honestly, in our own ways, kind of calling each other out that like, hey, like we made a different decision here and it would have, you know, that would have been okay too. So I think that keeping yourself honest and keeping each other honest is important. And you know, we there's so much fun in what we do. I think it's always an element of FOMO. It's like that professional FOMO, like giving it through. See, it's just like you want to see your friends, you want to hang out with your friends. Like I said to you when you were going on your maternity leave, and it's something that somebody's actually like, everything will be right here waiting for you when you're back. And it's true. So it's okay to prioritize those life moments. Yeah. Really.
And you told me, I was like, you know what? She's absolutely right with respect to that. And I have to say, to piggyback on something you said earlier, I've been very surprised by the friendships that one can form within a professional capacity, because you don't necessarily think of that. You think, okay, you made all of your friendships when you were in college and younger in your years, but there's so many we have at this stage in our career. So to find people that we can really connect with, be honest, and can help each other grow, I think is priceless. And you miss that. Like when you're out of the circuit, you miss
You
those people.
do.
But
You
sometimes they're
do.
halfway across the country.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I think, and it's like, also your direct peers, right? And it's also, you make colleagues in all age groups and people that have walked, in the shoes before you and maybe retired or in the process of retiring or have college age kids or kids much older than you. It's like learning also from their example, and their mistakes and their successes, I think has been really helpful too. Like, how did you do it? Like, what was your balance? Whether that be childcare or what they said yes to or how they prioritize anything else in their life. So we are
Some of
so
the
lucky to
real,
do what we do.
exactly. Those real discussions, I think, make a world of a difference. And I don't want to alienate any of our female boss ladies who don't want to have kids, because obviously that's a decision that's going to be unique to every individual. And a lot of them are actually moms to fur babies, and that's okay. And I think the bottom line is to just really build that network, find your tribe, and really support each other. Because as you said, that's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to really uplift each other. Now we're coming on time now, Allie. Are there any final pearls of wisdom that you want to share with our listeners?
Oh my goodness. I would say find your people, and really learn to listen to that like kind of internal voice when things start to feel off and know when to rebalance yourself. That has been most helpful to me thus far. And I'm still a work in progress. So I am deeply appreciative to people like you that are giving this topic. I think for those people that are newer to training or newer to specialty, they will only benefit from us being more open and talking about this more.
I love that. Being more open and sharing our wisdom with the next generation. That's a great way to end it. I, and I could go on for the next 2 hours. We've literally done
Without
that.
doubt.
Yeah, national and international before. So this is no different. But thank you so much for joining us today. This was such an engaging conversation. And then I'm going to hit you up afterwards to continue our conversation.
Love it.
And thank you to our listeners. We're happy to have you as part of our community and grateful that you tuned in today. And we look forward to connecting with you in our next episode. And remember, together we can accomplish anything. You've got this.